The Fed announced interest rate cuts, and we got a bump in soybeans. We have market analysis on the way with Tom Fritz, EFG Group, on the Hat Podcast, made possible today by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more, or you can just stop by your local branch. They'd be happy to talk with you today about your ag operation. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. We also have Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast on the way, a glimmer of hope for some rain in that forecast. He'll let you know when. And we have the news on the way. I had the opportunity to chat with Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall the other day. He was in Indiana. The hopes of getting a farm bill done are what? He lets you know that. And we're expanding an opportunity for conservation efforts in Indiana. CJ Miller has that story on the news next here on Hat.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Maybe some hope to get this farm bill done in 2024 after all, and expanding a conservation program here in Indiana. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today.
We need to put that pressure on. We need to tell them we need a farm bill now. It needs to happen in 24, not 25.
That's American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall, who was in northern Indiana Tuesday touring ag facilities with Indiana Farm Bureau leadership. He says the grassroots efforts of Farm Bureau members have made a difference in D.C., and the pressure to get a farm bill done is mounting.
I've had the opportunity to visit with the chair of the Senate Ag Committee, Ms. Stabenow, and told her that, you know, we needed a farm bill today, and we need it now. It needs to happen this year. And I could tell that she's feeling the pressure. So if you're out there and you've been helping us, don't let up now. We need to continue to do that.
Duvall says that in the last 10 days, the four corners of agriculture, meaning the chairs of the House and Senate Ag Committees and the ranking members, have been communicating about a way forward for the farm bill in this upcoming lame duck session.
That is new news, and I'm encouraged. So continue to put the pressure on. Don't let them back off. Let them continue to work and try to get some legislative text out of the Senate, which we haven't gotten yet, and be able to have something to go to conference with.
Duvall mentions the Senate there, but encourages you to not let the House off the hook either. They've put their version of the farm bill through the committee, but not the full House. He's asking everyone to contact their members of Congress to put the pressure on and get this farm bill done.
Every American benefits from a good, sound farm bill, whether it be help get a farmer through to the next year or whether it be through the nutrition program, which is 85% of the expenditures in the farm bill goes to nutrition programs that feeds children and families that are in need. And what American would be against that?
We'll have more in the coming days from Duvall's trip to Indiana here on Hoosier Ag Today. USDA is expanding a conservation program so that Indiana farmers across all 92 counties can now participate. CJ Miller has the story.
First of all, in Indiana, we do conservation right.
And that's Julia Wickard, Indiana's executive director of the USDA Farm Service Agency. Both USDA and the Indiana State Department of Agriculture are teaming up to offer enrollment into the Indiana Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, or CREP, to producers throughout the entire state.
Back in 2010, we had a revision of our CREP agreement, and we went to 65 counties. And we always thought that wasn't enough. We needed to get to all counties in Indiana, and excited that we're able to do that effective October 1, are going to be authorized to enroll in the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program.
In exchange for removing environmentally sensitive land from production and setting up a permanent resource conserving plant species, producers who voluntarily sign up are paid an annual rental rate along with other federal and non-federal incentives as part of their CREP agreement.
A true economic driver when we think about wildlife habitat, when we think about water quality improvements, when we talk about leveraging state and federal and local resources together to ultimately move the needle.
How can Indiana farmers learn more about the program?
Well, they could go to the website, but even more importantly, they could visit their county office. I would encourage producers who are interested in the program to visit their county FSA office, and we will be glad to work alongside them in getting conservation on the land on their farm.
You can also learn more at our website, HoosierAgToday.com, and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. See Genetics Direct.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Getting a little bit more comfortable with rain that can be developing for the forecast here. We've been waiting for it for a good long time, and I do think that we are actually going to be seeing some moisture trying to come together across the Hoosier State. But before we get it, we've got more of this dry stuff to work through. No precipitation in the forecast today. Nothing tomorrow. Nothing Saturday. Nothing Sunday. So count them up. That's 4 days that we have to get through yet with no significant moisture. Temperatures well above normal. High-ish humidity values. We're just going to continue to see the same as what we've had recently. That means harvest progresses, but it's very, very dry. We continue to see massive evaporation rates, and it's coming out of vegetation. It's not coming out of the ground. Now let's talk about the weather system. Massive storm complex coming together in the Great Plains over the weekend, especially from Saturday night through Sunday and into early Monday. It kicks up in Nebraska, Kansas, moves into Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois. We don't think that Indiana starts to get any moisture until near or just after sunrise, maybe west central Indiana on Monday morning. The trajectory of the low is a little farther north than I would like, okay? The low is going to be moving from that western Iowa, eastern Nebraska area across Wisconsin and then into the Great Lakes. So it's not the best trajectory for the biggest amount of rain, but it does still bring showers and thunderstorms here. So from Monday midday, right on through Monday night, Tuesday even, I think we're going to be seeing on again, off again rain and thunderstorms. 80% coverage is what I'm going to say. It's hard to call the coverage because this is not just an everybody gets that wall of water. It's more hit and miss over that day and a half period or so. So I'm going to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches. The 1.5 inches comes on thunderstorms. It can be a little bit stronger. So we'll see how that turns out. Once we get to probably Tuesday afternoon, we're done. And Wednesday, Thursday, we're dealing with wraparound backside moisture, which is going to all be cloud cover. I am not looking at additional moisture at all for Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I think we get into the weekend, Saturday the 28th, still seeing some partly cloudy skies, but no moisture, watching another big weather system develop in the Four Corners region. That kicks out and probably gives us a chance at moisture late the 29th into the 30th or even into the 1st of October. So, yeah, the pattern may be not as dry long term, but I'm still not liking what I'm seeing in terms of significant moisture. It's not like it's an everybody gets it kind of event here. It's a lot more hit and miss than I would like, so we'll kind of watch and see how this comes together. Track of these lows will be very, very important. If we get a low to come right over the top of Indiana, that changes everything. So far, not seeing it. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Soybeans get a bump. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday Farm Market Review. Wednesday market numbers are coming in just moments here on Hoosier Ag Today. We've seen minimal movement so far this week for corn and soybean futures until today. Soybeans took a bit of a jump to the higher side. Let's jump to Chicago, say hello to Tom Fritz with EFG Group. And Tom, we saw the Fed cut interest rates, and we saw soybeans jump to the high side. Where do you want to start?
Well, okay, let's talk about the Fed real briefly. You know, they cut it a half a point, you know, which I think is, you know, my opinion, is relatively aggressive. You know, I tend to be a conservative. I could have lived with a quarter point cut. So, you know, let's look at the reactions that you're seeing now. Longer term, you know, a half a point cut, well, what's going to come on the coattails of it? But right now, the impact, it's creating a lot of gyrations. The dollar's in the dumper. You look at the equity markets, which are supposed to be, you know, the recipient, the bullish recipient of this. Well, at one point, shortly after the announcement, Dow futures were up not quite 400. As we speak, they're up 75. So it's, you know, you got a lot of speculators just, you know, jerking around in there, and they don't know what to make of it all. So it's a very highly emotional market. So, and it's going to stay emotional for the time being until you get down to what I call brass tacks. You know, what are actual earnings? You know, how is this rate cut really impacting things longer term? So we try not to get caught up in the short term because, you know, I think a good portion of the equity run is all about speculators. And, you know, they're very easily swayed. You know, it's like lemmings to the sea. You know, where's the Pied Piper? You know, he's leading them in one direction or another. That's the funds. You know, funds rush in, funds rush out, and try to figure out their rationale. Well, that remains to be seen. So, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, everything that I read, and I'm not an economist, but everything I read, if the Fed starts cutting interest rates too soon, too fast, it's inflationary. And so, you know, okay, they've got a handle on inflation now. That's why they're, you know, cutting the rate. But if they cut it too fast, too soon, it's inflationary. So we'll see how that goes going forward. All right, back to the grain markets. This is what we care about. Corn, it was a quiet trading day, just, a 4-cent range in Dease corn, 3.5-cent range in March corn. Where are you going with that? We're not going anywhere in this corn market. The best support is short covering. We've got a big crop out there. But the problem is nobody's long futures except the commercial entity who hasn't bought his grain yet. So, you know, he's long on a hedge, and you're not going to blow him out of these hedges, not until he starts buying grain. And the producer is a reluctant seller. Now, I don't think this is, I hope this is not an occurrence everywhere, but, you know, I heard of one instance where got a producer, he's moving his old crop corn out of his on-farm storage into commercial storage. And they're like, wait a minute, I don't get it. What are you doing here? You know, because I think everybody in their neighbor knows that the big long in the market that's the most susceptible to lower prices is the producer. So, you know, I really don't understand, you know, his rationale other than he's cash rich and he doesn't want to sell his corn because he doesn't need the money. But you look at the makeup of the corn market, corn futures, we've got a tremendous amount of carry in the price structure. That's not friendly. And so as we move through harvest, you know, we're going to look at where's demand. China hasn't bought any corn from us at all. And it seems like I know Ukraine's been a decent corn seller. South America has been a decent corn seller. It seems like U.S. origin comes up second choice, if you will. So, you know, right now we've got some short covering from the funds just because the market doesn't break. But is it going to give us a big sustainable rally? Not without some demand, or we are grossly mistaken about crop size. Soybeans. Okay, soybeans had a nice jump. Well, that jump came last night. Soybeans last night came in virtually unchanged, sat there for an hour. And then at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock your time, market rallied, what, 10, 11 cents in the matter of, 20 minutes? Well, and I'm like, okay, what was that all about? There's no news at 8 o'clock at night. Well, yes, there is. That's when China opens. China had been on holiday for 2 days. Their Dalian Exchange opens at 9 a.m. their time, 8 p.m. Central Time. So that was the rally. I think that was the rally in the bean market. So here I am, you know, okay, we've done some business since China's come back to work from their 2-day holiday. And I expect to hear some announcements from the USDA this morning. No announcements. I go down and I check out Gulf quotes. Really no change whatsoever. So I'm like, what was that all about? So basically on the reopening, we spent the majority of the session giving back those gains. In fact, at one time, we made new lows for the day. But once again, short covering is the best support the soybean market has. And, you know, I will admit, there's a lot of rhetoric out there about the last 4 weeks of weather has really trimmed the top off of the soybean yield. Harvest is not far enough along yet to see the full impact. I'm still hearing some really good yields out there, but I'm also hearing some yields that, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we're far below those levels now. So we'll see. You know, it's not like, I think the yield on soybeans, you really have to get into the harvest. Crop conditions really don't show it. Because right now we're talking about the size of the soybean within the pod. And, if anything, there was an outfit here in Illinois, harvested some beans, 60, 65 bushels to the acre, but with 9% moisture. So it's like, before you know it, if we don't get some rain soon, which is in the forecast, just some scattered rains around over the next few days, you're going to start hearing talk about soybean shattering. And, then you get into quality issues and yada, yada, yada. But going forward, right now, until we can, show some really yield loss, our best support is going to be short covering. China. Yeah, they buy some beans every now and then from us. Two cargoes at a time. Where are you going to go with that? There's still strong buyers out of South America. So as far as I'm concerned, the soybean market, the corn market, we're kind of stuck. And I think we're going to be stuck as we move through harvest. Wheat market, no major exporter can compete with the Russians. And Russian wheat prices continue to stay down. Their crop size is pretty much fixed at 83 million tons. Ukraine can't compete with them. Europe can't compete with them. Well, for sure, Europe had a horrible wheat crop. They can't compete with them. The U.S., we can't compete with them. So, I hate to say this, but U.S. wheat futures, we're going to go the route of what Russian prices are doing, unless we see something like we saw last week where, the Russians threw a missile at a grain ship coming out of Ukraine. And look, that spark didn't last. So, I think the wheat market is going to develop into a trading range. And right now, the highs we saw last week are probably it for a while. But, are these markets going to turn bearish on us? I don't think so. But we're just not going anywhere. That, to me, that's the long and short of it right now.
That's Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. On Wednesday, December corn was up a fraction of a penny, 4.12¾. Unchanged on the March contract, 4.30¾. Novi beans up 8, 10.14. 10.32 on the January contract, up 7¼. December wheat unchanged, 5.75¾. December live cattle unchanged, 179.85. And December lean hogs up 17 cents, 73.87. That does it for the Wednesday Farm Market Review and the Thursday Morning Podcast. We thank you for joining us. We've got one more day this week. The Friday morning podcast coming your way tomorrow. Join us then. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.